Hi everyone, this is Sherry Clark, and welcome to Courage to be Seen. This show's for anyone who longs to take charge of their life, to create more success, accomplish their dreams, and to live in inspiring ways to be powerfully visible and visibly powerful. I'll be sharing stories with you from my own career and experiences, from leading engineering teams for the last 20 years, and also from interactions I have been blessed to have with people I've met from around the world. I want to give you the tools, techniques, strategies, and inspiration so you can be the best you. You can achieve the success you desire, personally and professionally. Being authentic, confident, and empowered are the keys to success and the life that you want. You can have the courage to be seen. I'm Sherry Clark, and welcome to Courage to be Seen, the show that focuses on you and helping you achieve the success that you desire. I will share with you the tools and techniques, stories and strategies to help you have more courage in your life, be more authentic, be more confident, and more empowered so you can have the success that you've always dreamed of. And today is an exciting topic for me, but it may not be the most comfortable topic for you. I want to talk about money. And what do you think of when I tell you that we're going to talk about money? What kind of feelings and thoughts come up to you when you think about money? You know, a lot of people I talk to say, I'm just not any good with money. Maybe I let my significant other handle the money. You may just say, well, if the bank's not contacting me that my checking account is being overdrawn, then I know I'm okay. So that's good. That's how I handle money. Maybe you feel like I'm okay handling money, but I really don't have anyone to talk to about money. I'm really kind of on my own. It's just not a safe topic to talk about. So I can handle the money, I can understand it, but I really just don't know enough about money. You could be also on the opposite end where you're the CFO of your family, that you feel very comfortable. You handle all the finances in your family, but you're always still looking for ways that you can do better. How do you optimize what you're doing? So does it matter if you're an avoider when it comes to money or if you're the CFO or somewhere in the middle? Money is an important topic. And especially when it comes to women, not enough conversations are going on and talking about it. So do you wish you knew more about the topic of money and finances? Do you want to feel confident when it comes to you and your money? How about, are you on track for your retirement goals? Do you even have retirement goals? Or maybe you're one that you're just trying to figure out how to live paycheck to paycheck. How do you make that paycheck stretch to get to the next? How do you feel like you actually get ahead in life? It doesn't matter where you're at today. The good thing is you can make progress. Wherever you're at doesn't mean that's where you have to stay. And this just isn't talked about enough, especially with women. Too often I just hear the excuse, I'm just not good with money. I don't handle it. My husband already takes care of that or something. I'll just get someone else to take care of that. And that can't be where we want to be as we go forward. When I look at my own experience, kind of as growing up, I started having a paper route when I was 8 years old. So I feel like, you know, I had a lot of experience early on kind of dealing with money and getting the paycheck from the paper route. I had a checking account. I remember reconciling that to the penny, you know, what it came in, what came out, getting my bank statements and doing that each month. That's just kind of how I grew up. I was taught to really kind of value money in terms of don't waste things. Make sure that basically money's not being wasted. I did grow up in a farming community. So I would say money was more invested in like farmland. There wasn't a lot of talk about like investing in stocks that I can remember growing up as a kid. But I do remember it seemed like conversations around money seemed to have like a tension to them. And because of this tension, there probably isn't a lot of discussions or not enough, especially around like spending of money in my family. It was kind of a topic that was more avoided. You know, when I think back to how my personal circumstance was, I don't know what yours was, but it's probably pretty typical. I don't think, you know, my experience here with money would be, you know, out of line, where I had some pieces that I was very grateful that I learned how to balance a checkbook at a very young age and understood kind of the value of money. But some of the topics were tension, right? And so because of that, there just wasn't enough talking about money. Not enough education is in our society around money. Now, I put myself through school, through college, between scholarships and taking out loans and working at a co-op. So that really taught me like the value of, you know, education. And my husband and I, we have learned a lot around investing together. I have to admit, I wish I knew 23 years ago when we got married, what I know now about investing and would have had all those years of compounding in our favor. Granted, yes, we did do investing, but not to the level that we do today. So I wish I knew more, you know, early on, but it is what it is. And if I can help you by sharing some of the stories and some of the plan and the process, hopefully you can have, you know, a good or better outcome than I've done. Because we live in a society that we don't talk about money. We don't talk about what we make. We don't talk about what we pay for things. It's really almost like judgmental. And it's really should be where we're at. We need to kind of open up, but at least share tools and techniques of how that you can be better with your money and how you can, you know, maybe get ahead, get where you want to go. So I'll ask you the question, what do you want from your money? Have you thought about it? What do you really want? If you ask men, many times that they want, you know, more savings, they want investments, and they want those to grow. Maybe it's they want it for retirement or to go on vacation, but that's really what they many times talk about, is they want their money to grow, to work for them. Women, on the other hand, usually answer the question very differently. Women want safety, security, stability. They want savings. So think about that. If men say, hey, I want investments, I want to see my money grow, women are more passive. I want stability. I want safety. They want to make sure things are going to be okay. And many times when they say savings, that means I want cash in hand. I want to know that money's going to be there in case I need it. It comes from an attitude of being afraid. They really want to know just, hey, things are going to be okay as they go forward. The future's going to be taken care of. Here's that money, and it's going to be okay. We've talked about on the show that statistically, you know, on average, women make 81 cents for each dollar that a man makes. When you think about this, it has a big effect on the amount of money that women have. So start off with, if you make 81 cents for every dollar, you have less money to spend. That's pretty clear, and most people can understand that. But then start thinking some of the other consequences of this. Think about how much gets put in your 401k. So if men and women both put 10% in their 401k, so on a dollar, if a man puts 10% in, they're going to have 10 cents. If the woman puts in 10%, but they only make 81 cents, they're going to have 8.1 cents in that 401k. Or you can think of it the other way. For the women to put the same amount in their 401k, they don't have to put 10% in. They have to put 12% in so they can put that 10 cents in. And if they're going to put 12% in, that's even less money they have to spend, because a larger percent has to go into their 401k just to have their 401k be the same size as men. So it really just compounds. And you see the same thing in Social Security, in pensions, because all these are based on how much money that you make. So if you're making less, you're going to get less at retirement because the amount that's credited to your account is less. In addition, many women take more time out of the workforce, either by part-time or completely out of the workforce to take care of children. So that's less money getting put in the 401k. That's less money that is building up in pensions and Social Security. I went part-time with both my sons. For my older son, it was just for a few weeks. It wasn't a huge amount of time. I think it was for maybe 6 weeks or something like that, that I went two-thirds time, I think it was. Now, for my my younger son, I went part-time for a longer period because, you know, he had special needs and he needed to be taken care of. So in that time that I was part-time, right, my Social Security wages were less than they would have been if I would have been full-time. So this does have a huge impact at the end kind of our career standpoint when we're getting ready to retire, that our 401ks, our pensions, our Social Security is less than it would have been if we would have been working full-time and earning 100% that men do rather than the 81 cents for every dollar. So the statistics say that women on average retire with two-thirds the amount of funds when they retire that men do because of all these things that I just talked about. So many women actually earn more in the spousal benefits portion of Social Security and pensions than they would actually claiming their own benefits. And if this doesn't feel wrong to you, then I don't know what does, because it just doesn't, in one hand, doesn't make sense. We are starting to make some progress in terms of women earning more, but we definitely haven't closed the gap. And so that's one of the reasons why this is so important. And then when you think about it, if the overall funds are two-thirds the size, women on average live longer than men. So they need more money in the end. So the problem is even compounded larger. And the other thing that if you think about, if women live longer, most women at some point in their lives are going to have to handle their finances. So it's important that you learn now. You might as well start today, and you need to learn how to handle your money. I think about my grandparents, and it's a great story when you think about it. My grandpa handled all the investing when kind of through most of their marriage, and they invested in bonds and everything, but he did pass away before my grandmother did. After my grandfather passed away, my grandmother, probably for the first time, really stepped up to learn about their finances. And she was proud to tell you about the estate and the investments to kind of show that, hey, she learned this. And one of the things I find really interesting is when my sons were little, she would send them savings bonds as for presents, like for their birthday. But once she really started to learn about investments and learn about kind of where they made investments as a couple, one day she told me, she goes, you know, Sherry, those savings bonds sure don't earn very much interest. And so she stopped buying them for my sons. Not that she didn't still give them presents, but she's like, there's better investments out there that we shouldn't put the money in those savings bonds at those low interest rates. So there's never too late to learn about how to manage your money. But that's a classic example of what many, many women need to kind of plan and start thinking for their retirement and how they are going to handle their finances at some point. Now, I'm going to agree if you're starting to think about, I'm all about money, because life is not all about money. There is a lot more things that are important in life than the size of your bank account. I agree 100%. And that's why most of these shows don't talk about money at all. However, money is a big piece of our life. It's an enabler. You could say having money is equated to freedom. It allows you to do more things. And so even if your priority is a lot of things other than money, you should learn to handle the money that you have, and you should make sure the money that you have works for you to enable as much as you can to live your life as full as you can. And that's really what we want to talk about. We're not trying to say you have to earn the most money in the world. That's not it at all. But the money that you do earn, you want to make sure that you maximize the returns of it and you're handling it as well as you can. So let's talk a little bit about how we're going to get you to be more comfortable with your money. And it starts with taking some time to know where you're at. You have to know your starting point. It's almost like any other goal that you have in your life. So let's start with, how much money do you make? I want you to start a spreadsheet and just list out. It doesn't take that much time. What's your income? You know, what's the size of each paycheck? What other sources of income do you have? You know, maybe you have a sideline job, or maybe you get kind of regular gifts from somebody. Do you have accounts that get paid dividends or interest? Just list them out. It shouldn't take very long. You can just pull up your last bank statement and say, oh, this is what I got paid, whatever it might be. It's pretty quick. Then I want you to list out, what are your assets? What savings accounts, checking accounts, investment accounts do you have? 401k, an IRA, maybe it is a taxable account that you have for stocks. It doesn't matter what it is. Just list them out and their balances. After you have those, then what debt do you have? A mortgage, a car payment? Do you have any other loans? Maybe what credit cards do you have? So put the balances and monthly payments in that spreadsheet. And that's really all it takes. Now you can total it up. You can take your assets, the total of all the accounts that you have, minus the debt that you owe, and now you have your net worth. So congratulations, there you did it. It didn't really take that long, but it's amazing the number of people that have no idea what their net worth is. Maybe it's just too scary. Maybe it seemed like, I just don't know what it takes, but that's really it. You can get more complicated if you want. Some people are like, oh, well, my car is worth this much, or, you know, I have these assets in my home. You know, I wouldn't worry about getting that much. I mean, your car eventually is going to depreciate to nothing. Just leave it with your financial assets, and you'll be much, much better off. It's just simpler and the less detailed. If we keep it simple, then you have no excuses that this is too much work. So how are you feeling now? Any better when it comes to money? I want you now to take some time to think about, what are your financial goals? Now, this one you may want to almost like come back to the show, like pause and spend some significant time thinking about your financial goals. And by that, I don't mean months, but I definitely mean more than 5 minutes, right? You want to think about, what do you want from your money? Maybe you want a comfortable retirement. Maybe you want to retire early and you want financial freedom. Maybe you've heard that, you know. FIRE, financially independent, retire early. That's a valid goal. Maybe you want to take vacation and you want to know that money is going to be there next year as you go forward. Maybe you just want to know that you can get from paycheck to paycheck. Are you worried about your kids' college spending? Maybe it's your parents and you're afraid, are they going to have enough money for whatever their needs are? So whatever that is, kind of take some time, maybe journal it, but what are your real goals? It's interesting if you and your partner have the same goals. This is a chance that you might want to talk to them about what their goals are versus your goals. But you want to make sure that you know where you're going, because you can't really make a plan to get anywhere if you don't have a goal. You also want a goal that can get you excited, get you to take action, let you know why you're doing what you're doing. If you're not focused and it's not a goal that means something to you, kind of why does it matter if all your money goes away, right? So make sure that you have a goal and you know what it is. Once you have that, I want to talk about kind of the steps that we go next, but you may find some of these are a little generic, because I'm going to try and talk about them holistically, where they apply to almost everyone rather than specifically what works exactly for you, because there are some fine trade-offs based on where you're at and what you're trying to accomplish. So we're going to talk more in general. And so some of this you can say, oh, I already have that. You may not need to apply it. But from an overall standpoint, the first step is you want to become more confident about money. This actually really isn't that hard. There's lots of ways to become more confident about money. One, you can read books and blogs. I read a lot of books. And you can also take like webinars. There's a lot of free information when it comes to money. Now you just want to be careful, because a lot of the free information sometimes are more like advertisements. They really want you to buy their product. And that's not the kind of education that I want you to focus on. Now you can read that kind of information or attend those webinars. Just know if it is trying to sell you on a product rather than give you general information. Because sometimes it's still good, or at least part of the information is still good. So don't just turn them off because it is from like a brokerage or something like that. But just be knowledgeable of, hey, is this general information? Or is this trying to sell me on something? But the more you read, the more you just spend on education around money, the more confident you will get. You'll start to learn the language that's used. You'll be able to ask the questions that you need to ask. So step two, as you become more confident about money, you need to make a plan, right? We already started with where did you start from? We know where you're at today. We know your income. We know what your net worth is. I asked you to say, what are your goals? So let's figure out now, what's that plan? Part of it is you have to determine how much of the amount of money that you make that you need to set aside for retirement, for an emergency fund, for any other expenses that you have. And you can make a very simple plan or a complex one, depending on the type of personality that you are. They both can help you reach your goals. Some people like to know very detailed in a spreadsheet where all the money is going. Some people just bucketize it into a few different categories. It can be either way. But you have to kind of start with that plan. If you don't know where to start, think about 10%, 10 to 15% of your income needs to be put away for savings and investments. That should be your goal. Now, you might be saying, I don't know how I would put away 10% of my income. I don't know how to get to 15% of my income. I don't even have very much money to put away now. You need to start somewhere. If you don't know where to start and you haven't been doing it, I would say if you have a 401k at work, start with whatever the minimum is to get the full match. Maybe that's 6%. Whatever that is, because if you're not getting the full match, you're just throwing away free money. Use that as your starting point. And then every year you can go up a percent or two. If you go up in small chunks, you're really not going to notice or miss the money. If you don't have a 401k, you could also do the same thing, just automatically transferring money into an investment account. Start with something. And then over time, increase that. Just go up that extra percent. Maybe that extra $50. And then over time, you will be putting in that 15%, which is really your goal. Now, I don't really want to get into, should you be putting money into 401k versus the Roth 401k, an IRA versus a Roth IRA. That is all very specific based on you and your taxes and your current financial situation. So just think of that putting money away for something is better than nothing. You need to start. And if you get too wrapped around trying to make sure you're putting away in the absolutely perfect spot, you may not put any money away. So start somewhere. And then as you become more educated, as you become more confident, you can always change the plan and pick something else later. So something's better than nothing. And then you can optimize later. The other question a lot of people wonder about is, should I invest or should I pay down debt? This, like everything else, is a complicated question. What I would say is the answer is probably a little bit of both. It really depends on what you're investing in, what kind of returns you're getting, what kind of returns you're expecting, what your timeline for the money is, and what the interest rate you're paying on the debt. So with that, you need to really kind of think about, how do I do a little bit of both, and then optimize it as you go along. Now, if you don't have the money to invest, you need to think about, what is your budget? Now, budgets can be complex, like I said, or they can be simple. They need to include some things that are important to you. Like maybe you do like a coffee in the morning, but make sure you're not spending money on things that aren't important to you. That's the key part of a budget, that it helps you understand where your money is going, where you spend money every month, and where you're wasting money on things that aren't important. Now, once you have that money in there, you want to make sure that you're having the money work for you. So you might, if you don't know what you're doing, hire a financial advisor. Or the other thing you can start doing is just invest in index funds. It's a great way to start. They're low cost. And that way you're at least in the market, and your money is earning money for you. It can compound. And then over time, you can optimize that investment. The key thing is make sure you're putting money in. And the last step to your plan is you need to track how it's going. See how much that money is investing. Try to automate it as much as you can. And then you can optimize it, like I said, as you go. When my son graduated from high school, we started his Roth IRA for him. We wanted to teach him about investing. He had no idea. And I told him, this isn't the most exciting graduation gift, but one day you will thank us for it. And we've had a lot of conversations on investing since then. And this is what you have to just get started. I asked him, what do you want to invest in? And he's like, I don't know. So we'd say, let's pick something. We can change it later. And that's the kind of attitude that you have to have. You can get more confident with your money. You can make sure that you're putting the money away. And then over time, you can optimize the plan. So I hope that you've enjoyed this episode. You know, I encourage you to subscribe on my to this podcast, so that way you get a notification whenever a new episode comes out. Check out my website, couragebeseen.com. There you can find out my contact information, more about my coaching program. And I love to get feedback. So send me a note. Tell me what you like about this episode. Tell me about things that you'd like to hear about in the future, or any improvements I could make. I encourage you to follow me on Instagram or Facebook, where I post motivational messages. So thanks for listening, and I look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thanks so much for joining me today. I hope you've been inspired to take action on at least one thing starting today. To learn more, check out couragetobeseen.com. There you'll find my blog and additional resources, including you can download a copy of 10 Ways to Live a More Courageous Life. Thanks again for listening, and make sure you tune in next time to learn additional ways to have the courage to be seen in your own life.